Welcome to the Ed Show. This is episode number 46, I do believe, if I remember correctly. My name is Rick Claus, and I'm alone on the set today because most other people are traveling. I think that Simon is in China or Russia. David's out on training. I got Joey in London. I thought I'd just, you know, give him a call to see if he's able to help me out here with a little bit of news from remote to see what's up. So let's see if he's there.
Please leave your message for 832287.
That's not good. So he's not there. We'll go ahead. There's only one news item that I have. I was hoping he'd be able to bring some more. The main thing is now that you can get a volume license available for business users of Office 13. 2013 is now available. Go take a look at your volume activation site and choose the options to subscribe and to use Office 2013 inside your environment. You obviously could have already gone ahead and downloaded and used it in a lab and test environment if you were a TechNet subscriber. And if neither of those two options apply to you, you can all go off and try a version of it with Office 365. Today, I'm going to be joined by a friend of mine, Zach, who's going to be talking about group policy and group policy update changes with Server 2012 and Windows 8 and Windows 7 and other things like that. Group policy is something, one of those things that affects most of us. So, without any further ado, let me go and bring him on. Okay, I'm joined by Zach Alexander, group policy team.
Can you
tell us a little bit about yourself and your background,
sure.
What you've been doing?
I've been on the group policy team for 2 years. I've been the PM, and before that I was just working on Windows Intune.
Just a little thing called Intune.
Just a little thing. You might have heard a thing or two about it. So I've been at Microsoft for 3 years now, actually.
Okay. And you ended up at group policy and that sort of stuff because of its natural association with Intune. With Intune.
Right, yeah, they're both in the management space. They're just kind of sister teams, I guess.
Okay.
And so I just hopped over the very low fence between them.
And you're working on the product that impacts hundreds of thousands, millions of systems every day. If they're domain joined, they got group policy, it goes off and gets applied to them. What's that kind of feel like as a level of responsibility?
Oh, I don't think about that level of responsibility. It scares me. No, it's very, you know, when I joined Microsoft, it's because I wanted to work on things that were really important, and group policy is really important and something I take very seriously. It's very fun, you know. Anyone who you talk to, you know, if they're not in IT, they don't know what group policy is. They think you're doing like a nothing thing. But you talk to someone in IT and they're like,
oh,
that's important.
You got it,
yes.
Man.
Like, yes, it is.
It literally affects workstations worldwide. Now, you and I sat down and we did a little bit of an interview back and forth, screencast, if you will, of a couple of demos of the new stuff that exists for Server 2012 for group policy. Now, we're going to talk first of all, and you're going to show these videos that we already did, so there's no pressure on you to be able to produce a demo on the spot, on the fly. You know, make it easier for you. The first one we're going to talk about is the infrastructure status. So tell me a little bit about the background about what this is and why an IT pro guy would care about this infrastructure status piece.
Sure. So for Server 2012, we're very aware that group policy can be a little bit troublesome to actually get into and troubleshoot. And part of that reason was we had all these different tools all over the place. So you had to go to all these different tools to figure out what's going on in your environment. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to bring a lot of those tools together, put them in one place that you're already at, the GPMC, and just give you useful information so that you actually know where and why group policy is running, not running, stuff like that.
Okay.
So the infrastructure status is one of the first things where we just put in some new information telling you what's going on in your environment, and you can use that to figure out why GP might not be running.
Very cool. Let's go ahead and roll that particular video for infrastructure status updates.
So when you're in an environment with multiple DCs, you can run into some problems where a policy changes on one DC, but it hasn't replicated to other DCs for whatever reason. This can lead to inconsistent or weird states. You might see that a client's applied policy, but not the right version of policy. So we created this tool to help you diagnose and understand issues related to GP and replication. And you can see that right now I'm in domains. This is the domain I'm managing, and I'm on the status tab. This is a new tab that we created to hold the tool. And it's going to show us anything we need to know about replication. So I'm going to hit the Detect Now button. And what that does is it goes out and it talks to all the DCs in your domain. It collects some information, generates a report, and shows you that report. There's a couple of concepts that are important to understand. So the first thing is we have this idea of a baseline domain controller. And basically, what that is we're going to say, okay, you have all these DCs. This is the DC that we're going to compare everything else to. You can go ahead and you can change the baseline. So you can see from this, it lists all the DCs in your environment. I have two. I'm going to leave it on the first one. You can see the site that the DCs are in. You can see their IP addresses. And you can see the number of GPOs in each DC. So right now, my replication is perfectly in sync between my two DCs. I don't have anything to worry about in terms of replication. And I don't have any domain controllers that are still replicating. So that means everything is in sync between my two DCs. So I'm going to switch over to my second DC. I have a GPO open. I'm going to edit it. I'm going to change a policy setting. And that's going to put my two DCs out of sync. So I'm just going to hop back over to my first DC here, and I'm going to generate my report again. And there you go. You can see that I now have one domain controller that now has replication in progress. And you can see that Active Directory GPO version is giving us a problem. So I clicked on it. I opened up this window. It tells us what's wrong. The version numbers are not in sync with versions on the baseline. There's an article ID that I can click on. And you can see the GPO that's out of sync. So this is going to tell us what the difference is between the two. So when it says this DC, it's referring to the domain controller that has a problem. And when it refers to baseline, it's referring to DC1, which we selected as our baseline. So we can see here that DC2 has a computer version incremented, where baseline DC does not. And that is infrastructure status. There are a bunch of different things that we release alerts on. We have a blog post up where you can look at all the different things. So another way that you can use this is we show status for individual GPOs. So I've opened up my group policy objects folder. I'm going to an actual GPO. I'm not going to a link because we look at the group policy object itself and how it lives in all the different DCs. And you can see we've also added this status tab to individual GPOs. So when I detect status on this, instead of going out to every DC and asking about every single GPO, we're filtering it down to just one to reduce a bunch of the noise. So I'm going to hit detect now, and that's going to go out, and it's just going to gather information about one GPO. And so from here, we can see that for this one GPO, it's not giving us any problems. It's in sync across all my different GPOs. If I did have a problem, it would let me know. Same way it let me know for the other tab we used for domain status.
Pretty cool stuff, man. Now, you're able to do this at the domain level and at individual group policy level.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what sort of impact is there if you have hundreds of domain controllers versus, like, you know, a couple? Is it time consuming? Is it network intensive?
Yeah.
And like, what sort of stuff you've done?
It's time consuming, and it can be a little network intensive as well. It's the reason why, you know, we have this button that says detect now.
That's the
safety
thing.
So you want to go out and click that button. You know, it's not something we're going to do automatically in the background. We're not going to be building reports for you or anything. This is a troubleshooting tool, not really like a reporting tool that you're going to be looking at all the time.
Okay, very, very cool. Now, next one up is something I'm particularly passionate about, because it was one of the things that I wish that we had in earlier versions of group policy, and that is remote update. Talk to me about the goodness that is remote update.
Remote update is awesome. It's also one of my favorite things. Yep. Basically, now when you want to have someone get a fresh copy of policy, you can just right-click on their OU and hit remote GP update.
That's it?
And that's it. Goes out, hits all the computers in that OU. Yep. And we even added a PowerShell commandlet.
Oh.
Yeah, so now you can script it. So you can hit just one computer. You can hit your entire domain if you want to. I don't really recommend that.
I was about to say, that's it can be rather intensive,
right.
Again, but at least now you're not at the mercy of having to call the user,
right,
talk to
them
on the phone, say, do a GP update /4, and off it goes.
Yeah,
Now, you know what? Let's take a look at that, and I'm going to ask you a couple of questions afterwards.
Sure.
Good stuff.
The next thing I want to talk about is remote group policy update. So this is a feature where you're able to reach out and remotely update policy on machines. So the way this works is you can now right-click on an OU. There's a little thing there called Group Policy Update. You click it, and it says you are going to update all computers within this OU and all sub-OUs. And it tells you the number of computers in there, just so you're sure you're not going to hammer 1,000 machines at once. And it goes through and it lets you know status for each of the machines that you're updated. So what we're actually doing here behind the scenes is we're using task scheduler APIs to create a task, and that task is going to run GP update at some point in the future. It's not immediate, but there's about 5 minutes in the future. So when it says succeeded here, what it means is it succeeded in writing the task for the computer. And that's also going to update all users who are logged in for the machine. And so you can see here I have a Win7 machine as well as a Win8 machine. And so this works on machines that are Vista and newer. And if I had any problems where it says error code and description, that would have shown me an error code and a description of the error, as well as there's a save dialog so you can save a report as a CSV to let you know what machines worked and didn't work. So in order to use this, you do have to open up some firewall ports. Fortunately, we've added some starter GPOs to help you out. So you can see the remote update firewall ports. You can right click on it and say new GPO from starter GPO. And I've already done this for my domain. So you can see the GP object there, and you can see how I've linked it to my entire domain. The other thing we've done is we've added some PowerShell commandlets to do this for you so you can automate this. So this is the PowerShell ISE, and I just wrote a really simple script here. I've imported the group policy module. So the group policy module is where all of our commandlets live. It's installed whenever you install the GPMC or RSAT. And then I've used our PowerShell script, which is invoke GP update. And I put the machine name after that. My machine is called Win8. And I'm just going to run it. It's going to complete. And now I'm going to switch over to my client machine. So this is the task scheduler. I'm going to go into Microsoft Windows Group Policy. And I'm just going to refresh this to prove to you that something happened. And you can see here two tasks were created. They're created at the right time. And you can see the runtime over there is going to tell you when that task is going to run. And that's about 10 minutes in the future. And the other thing you can see here is there is actually two tasks. The first is going to run in the computer context, and the next is going to run for the users that are logged into the machine. So I only have one user logged in now, and that user is going to get a GP update. When you do it from the UI, you get a GP update force. When you use PowerShell, you're able to use all of the GP update switches that you are used to. And that's it for remote group policy update.
Now, here, you were able to do this to individual machines and as well as to an OU.
Yep.
Now, can you do this to the domain level?
You can't, from the GPMC, you can't just right-click and hit the entire domain. And the reason
and hit
is...
all your systems across
right,
the board.
Because the reason is, you know, GP is always running in the background. Yeah. You have this 90-minute default refresh interval. So,
yeah.
Basically, if you want to go out and have your entire domain refresh policy, it does that anyway.
Yeah.
And the time it would take if you have, you know, 100,000 machines or even 10,000 machines, the time it would take for us to go out, reach each one, there's the fuzz factor. By the time you factor that all in,
it might be longer than 90 minutes for all.
Yeah, your domain would probably have refreshed anyway.
Nice.
But if you really, really wanted to, yeah, you could write a PowerShell script. You can use the AD commandlets to grab all the computers.
Query all the OUs or all the computers and say, go out.
Yeah, and just push it into an PowerShell script to do all that for you.
Power
of PowerShell.
I can picture a good friend of mine, Energized Tech, going off and doing something like that to blow up the systems. But let's see where it's at. Now, requirements for this. It's Windows 7 and Windows 8 in your demonstration.
Yeah. It also runs on Windows Vista. And actually, the way it works is it doesn't... when we go through what we're actually doing, there are some firewall ports that you have to open up.
I saw that.
Yeah, to go in and put in a task scheduler query. So basically, we're just creating a task scheduler event. And that's a really cool thing, but it only exists in Vista and above.
Okay.
So that's the reason why it can't go back further than that.
No problem. Now, the last one is going to be talking about results reporting.
Yeah.
And that's, is it like RSOP? Is it more than RSOP?
No, it is.
Tell me some more stuff.
It's exactly RSOP. We made RSOP so much better.
let's roll the video on that one there and come back.
The next feature I'm going to talk about is improvements to the group policy results reporting. We've made a bunch of changes to make it more useful. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to go to our friendly old group policy results wizard. You can get to this by going down the GPMC to group policy results, right-clicking, and choosing the wizard. We're just going to blow through this, and we're going to run this on a remote computer. So we're going back to trusty Win8. And we can choose a specific user. The administrator is logged in. We're going to choose that user. And this is just confirming. And we're going to go out, reach out to the machine, and gather a bunch of information and report back on it. So we've added a couple of things. One is the summary tab now has more useful information. So we'll let you know if a slow link was detected. That makes some changes to how policy is processed. We also let you know if GPOs are enforced, changing behavior. We'll also call out loopback mode. So all of the things that alter how policy is processed, we call those out front and center now, put them right where you're able to see them. A couple of other improvements we've made. Big one you've probably noticed is that we have component status that reports on time taken for group policy to run and the last processing time. So we actually go out and collect all events from the last processing cycle for policy, and we bring them back up so you can look at them right from the GPMC. We also report on organizational units that are in there. And when we list applied GPOs, we go by GPO instead of by setting set. So you can see all the settings your GPOs have in one place. Here I have fooled around with a couple of things about GP. I've enforced the lock setting, so you can see that when a setting's enforced, we call that out, so you're not confused about why one policy might have won over another. So just like we had to put in some firewall rules in order to remotely update a machine, in order to remotely report on a machine, we also need a different set of firewall rules. Fortunately, we also have a starter GPO for that. So the same way that we had the remote update, we can do for this, right-click on it, say create a new GPO from this GPO. I've already done that and linked it to my domain.
Okay, now that's almost as exciting as remote update to me. So
yeah, you know, I lied earlier. I said remote update is my favorite, but really, it's the RSOP improvements to me that are just so great.
It tells you the time it took to process. Yeah. It tells you slow link detection.
It
and
goes
loopbacks.
Out and
it's
grabs
craziness.
Events. Yeah. That's the crazy part to me. That's magic. I don't even know how that works.
That's absolutely awesome. Anyway, thank you very much for doing those ones there. Now, you told me, we were chatting here before we started the show, that there's a couple of extra things you want to do a shout out for some extra tools.
Yeah, actually, so if I saw you had your Windows Phone 8.
I had to turn it off because it was, you know, interferes the microphones.
It's fine, but in Windows Phone, you know, 7 and 8, there are actually a couple of group policy apps. So if you go to the store and search for group policy, you'll see two. One is made by one of our MVPs, Alan. He put together just
a
compilation.
He's out of New Zealand, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, I know Alan. Hey, Alan, how you doing, buddy?
Yeah, his app is a little bit ahead of everyone else, actually, because of the time zone differences.
Yeah. So that one there is cool. It tells you what's going on with group policy.
Yeah, it does. So it just collects, you know, from Twitter, from RSS, from his blog, from the GP team blog. It just collects everything and lets you know what's going on. So it's a pretty good app. I like it. And then also there's the group policy search app. It's a web page, but it's also, they made an app version of it. And basically, it just has a list of all the ADMX settings in group policy. Doesn't include the new ones for 8 or Server 2012 yet. But if you're ever wondering, hey, is there a policy for this? Go to the website, type it in.
Oh, man. That sounds way better than what I used to do by searching through articles and Excel spreadsheets and stuff like that.
Can I tell you a piece of trivia? Huh? There's a search function built into the GPMC.
I did not know that.
Yeah, no, it's impossible to find. Don't worry about it.
I'm glad to see we built that feature in.
Yeah.
To be able to do it. Anyway, so now you can go off and find out, is it possible to, for instance, enforce a policy that will go in and open IE in desktop mode?
Or like removable drives, all the different things that you can do with group policy and ADMX settings. Yep.
Awesome, man. Well, hey. Thanks a lot, Zach, for coming out and talking about group policy. If you have any questions or any comments about this particular episode, you got the comment block down below if you wanted to leave us a comment, and Zach will get back to you. I'll make sure you do, or I'll get back to you about group policy stuff. You can also send us an email at edge@microsoft.com, and you can catch us on the Twitter sphere if that's your thing with a @TNEdge to be able to leave us suggestions and ideas for new shows, questions, comments, all that good sort of stuff. With that, I'm going to say see you next time around, guys.